My scripture reading is in Acts and chapter 2, and let's start with verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's Acts 2 and 14 through 21. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special occasion for these words. And Lord Jesus, we ask that your spirit be prevalent among us and that each one of us be ever filled with your spirit and that your plan be accomplished through the Holy Spirit working within us to reach others. Heavenly Father, bless the words and thoughts that we will speak. Let them help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, we ask all these things, and amen. My text is in Ephesians, and today I'd like to stick primarily with the King James Version. And I'd like to go to Ephesians 5 and 18 for my text to you. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Within our Sabbath lesson today, we've already spoken a little bit about the Spirit of God. But today, we speak directly from the book of Acts and from this verse in Ephesians. And I want to entitle my message to you today, "Full of the Spirit." Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is, in essence, a command. And we have this within the book of Ephesians and Paul instructing the Ephesians. Being filled with the Holy Spirit was not a one-time occurrence for the men and women of the first Christian church. It was and is to always be a continual experience. Be filled with the Spirit, ever being filled. And the implication is we will never have enough. Therefore, grow each day, ask for more of God's Holy Spirit, and God will give it. It is a gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as the gift of salvation. We need to want it. We need to ask for it. In essence, it is God's Holy Spirit that first brings us to Him, that first puts within our heart a desire to know more of His Word and to love His Word. It is that tug of the heart of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, as the Scripture says, was sent by the Father God and by His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to Acts 2 and verse 3 and 4. Acts 2 and verse 3 and 4. I want to give you a little bit of an illustration that being filled with His Spirit and this text of being filled was not just a one-time occurrence. Acts 2, 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that occasion. I think there was around 120 people around there. A bunch of people in an upper room where some of them were dwelling. And when it came full time for the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, to be sent to those, the Scripture says that all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that this fire that came down from heaven, that anointed their eyes to see what they seen and their ears to hear, all was affected. This was set on, come down from heaven and rested on each one of them. And let's see what verse 8 says. And now hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And it goes on to let you know that many countries and nations and languages was represented here. And when the Holy Spirit came on this particular very special occasion of the first unbelievable outpouring of the Holy Spirit, each man from each nation and each language at the same exact time heard in their own tongue and their own language with their individual ears different, but yet language of their own. Isn't that miraculous? They heard in their own language, and many being represented there, the wondrous works of God. Let's consider also the following in considering the filling and refilling of God's Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts 4 and verse 8, and we'll see about Peter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Notice this is well after the initial outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And Peter was at that time and at that moment filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse 31 in chapter 4. And we'll see what it says about the church then, meaning the first Christian church. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice that they were assembled together. And I'm sure that they had one thing on their mind. They were in one accord. They were in harmony. And they were praying. And then the Holy Ghost came and they were filled. My message is full of the Spirit. Let's go to chapter 6 and verse 3. And we will see about it speaking of the first deacons of the church. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Let's go to chapter 7 and verse 35. And it points out about Stephen. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Let's go to 11 and 24. Chapter 11 and verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And this is speaking of Barnabas there. Let's go to chapter 13 and verse 9. And it speaks of Saul, who was and became Paul. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So you see, it was not a one-time experience. The Holy Ghost miraculously came on the ones that were gathered together and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, as Jesus had commanded them. And they were all at that time, in chapter 2 of Acts, were all filled with the Holy Spirit as they prayed and they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. Ephesians 5 and 18, again our text. Paul to the Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does being filled, what does that mean to you? Does it mean being filled until full? Does it mean that if you are filled with the Spirit, that you perhaps can't hold anymore? You're at the limit? Be filled. It's a constant filling, isn't it? And the implication is you won't ever have enough. We need more and more of God in our hearts and lives. We need more and more of His filling in order to help us do what God would have for us to do, to reach others. You know, I've said before, and it's true, that moderation is good advice. If we're speaking of the way that we the way that we eat and drink, we would say moderation is good advice. And in for sure, in Philippians 4 and 5, let's go there. Philippians 4 and 5. And I'm saying this because we are using words this morning such as excess. And advice within our text as to how we drink. In Philippians 4 and 5, we read, let your moderation be known unto all men. It's advising us to be moderate in certain aspects of our life. But you know, if there's one thing that the Word of God is letting us know not to be moderate in, it would be being filled with God's Holy Spirit. It would be in our service to God. Our natural excesses all tend to not be God-related. Our natural excesses. Excesses in food. Who is it that can say that you've not had a little bit too much food sometimes? Excesses in food, drink, excesses, some people, in work, how you make your living, other kinds of work, play, clothes, shoes, purses, cars, homes, all kind of material things. Sometimes we get carried away. And we get our thoughts that materialistic things, particular ones, specific ones, more of them, is going to make us happy. It's going to help us to be more satisfied and content. We're going to have more self-worth if we get more. But you know, that's just not how it works. But that's our natural tendencies. Our natural tendencies are toward excesses in these areas that are not God-related. God's Word tells us our excesses should be centered around God and service to Him. To be filled with the Spirit is to be God intoxicated. I want you to get the relation this morning between our text and being intoxicated with alcohol. To be filled with the Spirit is to be God intoxicated. But I want you to consider some similarities between being intoxicated with alcohol and, in essence, God-filled. And I think y'all can relate to this because it is a comparison of what is false and what is true. A person that is intoxicated with alcohol, do you know them to be a little bit more brave than they would normally be? The same can be said of a person that is God intoxicated. His Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we become more courageous, more brave. It happened to the Apostle Peter, the other disciples. How about happy? Is alcohol, little alcohol, does that make you a little extra happy? Or at least that's the way it's portrayed? Yep, it gives you a false sensation. These with alcohol intoxicated are all false sensations, being brave, being happy. What about being talkative? Man, if you are filled with God's and God's love and you see the great things that is in God's Word, you're going to be telling somebody. You're going to be extra talkative. What about being extra generous? I know the person that has a little bit too much alcohol makes some poor decisions sometimes, and they're a little bit extra generous to their detriment. But you know, when we become a child of God and we see God's emphasis on giving and His work being carried on, then we can see how God's plan is. That He wants us to give cheerfully, as was stated earlier this morning. Be a generous giver. Give and be blessed, as we had our message last Sabbath, was give and receive. And this is how God sets forth His plan for you to be blessed. He wants you to give, and to give happily and cheerfully. And He blesses you in regard to that and in relation to that. How about the idea of not being worried about tomorrow? The intoxicated person, you think he's worried about tomorrow? You think he behaves and acts like he's worried about tomorrow? No, he has a false sensation. He's not worried about tomorrow. He's all about being happy now, having a good time now. And you know, when we have God filled to the brim within us, and we know of the confidence that we have in Him, we know of His promises to us about tomorrow and forever, then are we going to be worried about tomorrow? We might, slightly in a natural sense, be concerned about what's going on today and what might happen tomorrow. But God's Word instructs us that it's all in His hand. Everything is being done to His plan. He has it all under control. He won't let it get out of control. And it will go forth just exactly like He says it will go forth. So we need to not be worried about tomorrow. To be filled with the Spirit is to be emptied of self. You know, we all have a natural tendency to be self-concerned. And in essence, about some things, selfish. But when self is on the throne, when we put ourself at the center of our life, then God is forced from the center to the circumference of life. In essence, when we focus so much on ourselves, and it's all about us or our immediate family, this is not what God wants. It's not the way of God. We need to be concerned about others. We need to have love for others. And we need to not put ourselves in the center, because it always forces God off center. In essence, further away from us. If we're going to be at the center, God's going to be forced outward. When we have God's Holy Spirit, it changes us, changes our lives into having not a fleshly, materialistic outlook, but it changes our minds into a spiritual focus. Remember that the Bible and God's Word says, set your affections on things above. God promises that all will be added to us as we get our priorities in line, as we keep Him at the center of our focus and at the center of our life. It's all about God. It's all about His plan, and we are and should be part of His plan, yielding ourselves and our lives to His service. And that can most fully be when we have more of His Holy Spirit within us, leading and guiding us. Lastly, be filled to the fullness of the Spirit. You want all you can get of God's Holy Spirit helping you, leading you, guiding you, comforting you, protecting you and your family? You want all of that you can get? Well, sure. Be filled to the fullness of the Spirit by getting more faith, studying God's Word more. The Holy Spirit will dwell within, going wherever we go, helping us right there each moment of each day of our life, from then and onward, as we hold on to God's hands. Let's see what 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 says. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The Spirit of God brought you to God. Your faith in God will keep that there. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Can that be any more clearer to you? When you have God within you, when you keep that Holy Spirit of God within you, and when you are continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit, then you are a temple of God. Secondly, get more prayer time. Not only study time, increasing your faith, but get more prayer time, because this is personal and individual communication with God. Personal contact with God. And you know, in each of those occasions that we were speaking of in Acts, when the Holy Spirit was first given in such a magnitude, all of the people were gathered together in one accord in prayer. Is there power in prayer? There is. The Holy Ghost was given as they were gathered together in prayer. Let's go to Acts 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Remember the characteristic of being alcohol intoxicated, giving you more boldness than you would normally have? When you have and are filled with God's Holy Spirit, you're going to get this boldness, just like the ones of the first Christian church, in which the Holy Spirit was poured down upon them so miraculously. And the third, in being filled to the fullness of the Spirit, is to obey God, not men. Don't pay that much attention to all of the doctrinal beliefs that are going all over around you in your community. Have a personal, individual relation with God. And let it be through reading God's Word as well as praying. And let's see what Acts 5 and verse 27. Let's see what that tells us in this regard. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name, being the name of Jesus Christ? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Let God ever have this within our heart. Search out the truth in God's Word. Don't just believe anything that you hear, anything that's brought to you by anyone. Let God's Word prove it to you. Let's skip to verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them, listen, that obey him. It's necessary to respond to him with obedience. Yes, it's necessary. This scripture says, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Obey God. And be filled to the fullness of the Spirit. Get more faith by studying God's Word. Spend more of your time in prayer to God. And obey God. Obey the truth of His Word. Let the Holy Spirit make God the center of your life. Let the Holy Spirit make God the center of your life. Not the sideline substitute. We don't want to get into a situation where we just remember God when things are going bad, when we are in trouble, when we are in distress. We want to go to God every day for all our needs. He does not need to be a sideline substitute. Let's go in our Bible and let's repeat in closing Our blessing, it's referred to as Aaron's blessings or benediction, but it is really God's command for us to repeat blessings to each other, and it is from God Himself. This is in Numbers 6 and 24. Let's repeat this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. Amen.